Two dudes watch cartoons. Two dudes watch cartoons. Two dudes watch cartoons. Two dudes watch cartoons. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Welcome back to Two Dudes Watch Cartoons, the podcast where two dudes, that is us, watch cartoons. My name's Evan.
And my name's Alex. I almost introduced myself before you. I forgot to introduce myself. You left that gap there.
I'm flustered. Leave
a second of space and I'll jump in. So
I'm sorry. I'm flustered. I'm off my game. I don't want to jump the gun, but there are, This was a nail biter and
we're getting into it. Welcome to round four. We have four teams left. It sounds like Evan is hinting that we have some close votes. The matchups are four of maybe the best animated movies of all time, not to be hyperbolic, but we have Toy Story versus Finding Nemo, and we have The Incredibles versus Monsters, Inc. Before we get into results, I don't think this will be as long as last time, all those interesting tidbits and homework that we did. I just want to discuss the themes of these movies, Evan.
True.
What makes them so appealing to people? And we could start with our one seeds. Gosh, I'm excited. I want to get to the results. I don't know them. But we'll take a time. And we're both smart individuals. So I did very little research on. I watched all four of these movies this week. So I'm fresh in the head. But I want to jive with you. I want to talk. What do you think these movies are about, and why are they so appealing?
That is tough, because I do think each Pixar film sort of has its own like central themes. Some of them recur throughout their body of work. I didn't get to watching the Western Conference. I watched like most of the Eastern Conference, and some of these themes, there are commonalities between films, but they excel in different areas.
That's fair. Yeah. So we'll start with the one you didn't watch. We're going to start in the Eastern Conference. Right. Oh, wait, no. Wait, you watched the Western or the Eastern?
I watched the Eastern, Incredibles.
Oh, we'll start on Western. I got my directions all mixed up. Toy Story.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to boil this down to the simplest thing, but is it like You Got a Friend in Me?
It's You Got a Friend in Me, baby.
Do they list it off right away?
Yeah, it's in the song.
It's about companionship, right? Like the toys are Andy's companions, and that's how they're like fulfilled.
It's about the pangs of jealousy when a new friend comes into the group.
Too real. Too real.
When you get replaced by your best friend.
Do you feel, honest truth, you don't need to name names, do you feel like you've ever been replaced in a friend group?
Have I ever been? Yeah, I would say I have.
What? Oh my God, we can talk offline.
Maybe less replaced, more just phased out.
That's your own fault, it sounds like. Okay. I don't know I've been replaced, but kind of like you, maybe I've removed myself from some friend groups is a maybe better way to put it.
For sure. But honestly, I think this is the strength of Pixar, obviously. This is why when they hit. And for, 90% of their movies, they really do.
Yeah. No, and that makes sense. And I mean, the themes of friendship are throughout it. The toys themselves are a bit of like a community, a friendship. And Buzz is like, it is a little bit about jealousy. Buzz is like hardcore just jealous of, or
he's
what
the hot
he's
new
just,
girl in town.
Of the hot new kid in town.
Here's a question for you. Toy Story is one of the more unique ones because it has four entries. Probably the most of any, most of any
for
Pixar
sure.
franchise. I have watched Toy Story 4 in the last year or two.
Yeah.
I'm not recalling like differences between 3 and 4.
So 3 is where Andy goes off to college and they do the cheap incinerator. Oh my God, they're all gonna burn.
Cheap. That was the end of the road at that time.
Okay, excuse me. I know that's a hot take on my part. I know a lot of people love that scene. People bawl their eyes out to that scene. But like in my mind, they're not gonna kill these fucking toys. I guess they could have, but like I didn't buy it, so it felt cheap in the moment. It felt like an anime. How are they going to get him out of this one until they got him out of that one?
In that moment, I remember watching it in theaters. I was like, how do they get out of this? There's no way they get out of it. I cannot imagine a scenario where they do.
So to four, then to me, and this is why I like four. It hit me at the right time in life. Four is one giant existential crisis.
Isn't that kind of what three is too, though? I don't know. It's been a while since I watched three.
Three is more about the goodbye of it all, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
If that makes sense. Goodbyes are hard, what they mean, moving on to the next thing. So that was like a moving on. I really think that if you look at the time length between the two, it is designed to hit children going to college or that transitional era where this is that post-college, like, what do I do with my life now? I've done it all. I've helped Andy. I've helped Bonnie. What do I want now? Woody finally asked himself, like, what does Woody want?
We got Bo Peep back.
Bo Peep was a badass in it. So there's a lot of strengths. And I think that is probably something we are underestimating. We set the rules. Mm-hmm. If you want to count it as just Toy Story, you can. If you want to count it as Toy Story 1 through 4, that's your prerogative also. And I wonder if maybe that's what's helping the series here is it's got three great bench players behind it.
Absolutely.
All stars in their own rights.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd say friendship. That's that. Not to boil it down too simple, but like friendship, companionship, what it means to be a good friend to someone. Okay. Finding Nemo. This one I thought was maybe a little more hard. Tell me, what are you thinking about Finding Nemo?
I think it centers on the parent's journey, Marlin's journey of learning to let go, in a way dealing with grief. The loss of the mother and not passing on this cycle of anxiety to his son.
Yeah. Honestly, and I think it actually cuts both ways. There is a lot of, as soon as they're apart, they start learning about each other. It's kind of like you don't know what you have till it's gone. Marlin kind of has this childlike figure in Dory that he aids him in his journey. And then Nemo, almost forgot the character's name. So Nemo has then the angelfish, who's kind of like a father figure. And so they kind of learn a little, I don't want to say about their role, but sort of their bond between each other and what they provide for each other.
Yeah, they see themselves reflected in others, and it helps them improve their own relationship.
I really like the overcoming grief angle, though, because Marlin's whole obsessive-compulsive safety thing comes from the loss of a million children and one wife.
It's much like Asteroid City.
What? That was not what...
That was just a more recent reference. Example.
I don't hate movie. It. Yeah, it's a good movie. So I think, once again, though, and I wonder if maybe we were talking about this is just kind of Pixar's bag. They are really good toys, fish, monsters. They really let us look at human emotions through the eyes of these inanimate things and objects that don't have human emotions. Well, who's to say fish don't have human emotions? I'm not going to go there. PETA's knocking on my door. I think that just like, I don't want to say like, this one is not as much about friendship as it is like the familial bond. Very similar in themes, but it's very much that that family connectivity.
Yeah. And one thing I'm thinking is that Finding Nemo and sort of Monsters, Inc. as well, they embody like what Pixar is really good at is luring you in with these really fucking cute, adorable characters.
Yeah.
And then they wrap it with like these universal truths of the
emotional
human experience.
Damage.
That just punch you in the gut. I almost forgot. I haven't watched Finding Nemo in probably 10, 15 years. I almost honestly forgot about the whole, was it like a barracuda that attacks?
Yeah. Opening violent, scene. Violent barracuda start. Attacks the family and eats all the eggs.
Yeah. And, spoiler alert.
It's the first 5 minutes of the movie. And it is really funny, though. They're down there and they're like, what do you want to name him? And he's like, this half could be Marlin Jr. And this half could be whatever her name is. And she goes, no. And she goes, I want to name one Nemo. Yeah. It's so cute. And then his egg's cracked. Oh, and they're also, you know what? This is a really good message, too, through the lens of a fish. Nemo is disabled a little. He's got a smaller fin. And so I think that is good representation of Nemo felt like he had to prove himself because of his tiny fins. So that's why he went and touched the butt. But it's like, you're just as good as all the other kids. Nemo, you don't need to swim. Nemo's swimming out to sea. You don't need that moment, Nemo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever watch the TV show Weeds?
Like the first handful of seasons? Because that was like one of the first long-running shows, those on Netflix, right?
Yes. Yeah. The youngest kid, Shane, he plays the voice of Nemo.
Oh.
Yeah. You can hear him sometimes yelling about drugs in his other show.
That's a good show. I don't know why, but this led me to look up who voices Marlin's wife, Coral, voiced by Elizabeth Perkins.
It sounded in my head familiar. I could picture it. And I was like, who?
The Flintstones, 1994. Was that the live action? She plays Wilma Flintstone in the live action movie across John Goodman, Rosie O'Donnell, and I forget who plays the other guy.
So it's Sully and Rick Moranis. Wife. Rick Moranis. Wow. That's 1994, though. That makes sense.
Yeah, he was big.
He was big in 1994. Because he hasn't been around since, comparatively to the children.
Comparatively, yeah. If I remember correctly, the highest box office earner of the whole group.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? We skipped over in the Toy Story lineup. Their third string, Toy Story 3, is that third animated movie nominated for Best Picture we were looking for.
Wow.
Toy Story 3.
Interesting.
I agree. I looked it up after.
Did it deserve it? Or was it like a lifetime achievement award?
It's a legacy award. It's a legacy award, and you know it is. Yeah. It's like when they gave it to Leonardo DiCaprio for The Revenant, of all things. God damn it. He deserved it. You see him in Wolf of Wall Street? You tell me him fighting a bear was better?
This is maybe perhaps another hot take. Maybe not that hot. Jamie Lee Curtis for Best Supporting last year.
That's not a hot take. Another legacy one. Never had gotten one. Like, here's the thing.
Over Angela Bassett.
And but also Stephanie her Schubert. Co-star, Stephanie.
That's fucked.
In a movie a movie that was so prominently strong Asian representation, to give the Oscar to the one white cast member is kind of a slap in the face. It really is. It kind of is.
Yeah.
Those fucking hot dog fingers didn't deserve it.
Total agreement. Yeah. So I mean obviously Nemo is your winner pick.
I'm nervous though. Ready for this? Maybe this is why I wanted Coco to win. I thought Finding Nemo could beat Coco. I'm so nervous. Toy Story to me, here's what's throwing me off about Toy Story is we're not hearing from everyone that votes. Not by any means, but we get a decent sample size of people reaching out to us. I haven't heard one person be like, Toy Story all the way. Like, all the other ones, I've heard people be like, yes, I want this to win. Yes, I want this to win so badly. But Toy Story just keeps dominating.
It's, you know, much like the Toy Story 3 Best Picture nom. it's just assumed. Votes. It's the legacy vote.
God.
It's the longest
I'm nervous, but
franchise.
I feel confident in my team. I do. So we'll get to that. But two great movies about the connections we have with others around us displayed through fish and toys. Mm-hmm. Let's move over to the East. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about these ones. I think we're going to run into similar things, but starting with The Incredibles, what do you think theme-wise The Incredibles is doing for us?
Being a working parent, having to sacrifice career weighing career and family, which is sort of what we talked about last week with what Brad Bird was dealing with when he was working on Iron Giant, marital strife. Like, I was watching it this week, and there's a moment. There's the montage where Mr. Incredible is getting fit, and Mrs. Incredible overhears the conversation that Robert has with Mirage on the phone, and she thinks he's having an affair. And then he's pulling out of the driveway in his new suit, looking fit as hell. She just says, Robert, I love you. And she thinks she's being cheated on. He's about to go cheat on her. And that absolutely crushed me. I was like, this is brutal.
Big. I get you. I feel you. It's not all, honey, where's my super suit? Yeah. There's some real shit there.
There's some real shit in here. And I think this is an underdog in this round of the tournament. It's had an incredible journey up to this point. No pun intended. We've had this conversation in a group chat with a friend of ours, arguing that Incredibles is not on the same tier as some of these other final four picks. And I have to disagree. And I'll be honest, I voted for Incredibles over Monsters, Inc., my own winner pick.
Wow,
after
your
watching
own winner
it.
Pick.
Because it's just, I think there's the most rewatch value. I watched this and I got maybe 30 minutes into Monsters, Inc. And if I have to go back, I would rather watch Incredibles again than finish what I had left of Monsters, Inc. Like, this movie is that good.
See, I'm not going to lie. I didn't I watched all four, so I didn't not enjoy my Incredibles watch. It was really good. But man, my Monsters, Inc. watch was, I was like, I was emotional. Okay, I won't lie. That's got fun. Emotional. I've seen it so many times. But at the end, when fucking Boo opens that door and goes, Kitty, and there's nothing.
I will say Monsters, Inc. has that punch. I don't know that Incredibles has that emotional peak in the movie.
Sure. Yeah.
I think the whole ride throughout.
We do love superheroes.
And that's probably my bias watching this movie.
I'll never forget our friend of the podcast, Dylan Dunn, one time recently. Maybe it was Gary. It was Gary. Our good friend Gary goes, well, you guys are superhero nerds. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, you guys love superheroes. And I was like, that's not. And I was like, oh, God, yeah, it is. I do love superheroes. I don't know why I was never able to contextualize it like that.
Yeah. But I mean, Incredibles is obviously a superhero movie, but it's a spy thriller set against a family comedy. It's an homage to like 60s spy comedies. It's so good. There's so many layers to why this movie's great.
There is the whole family stick together. No one knows you like your family. But one theme that I do think is interesting is Mr. Incredible dealing with the past the glory days, if you will.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's stuff. It's rich. And stuff for us to explore at this age. When he is spoon feeding Jack, I was like, oh my God, I'm literally, age of Mr. Incredible now. I'm spoon feeding solids to my kid.
That is so funny.
I used to think I was Dash, but now I'm Robert Parr.
Yeah. Where have the years gone?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Okay, that's good. No. I'm totally seeing what you're saying. And wow, the themes and the messages of this movie won you over so hard, you voted against your own team.
Mm-hmm.
I commend you. I don't know I could vote against Finding Nemo. I picked it for a reason.
I just had to be faithful to my view experience.
I love it. No. I love it. Wow. No, that's good. Incredibles. Who's your favorite character in it, would you say?
I think Elastigirl. She
is kind of the crux of the movie.
She's the crux of the movie. She literally holds the whole family together.
Yeah.
Voiced by, what is her name?
Rhea.
Holly Hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Holly Hunt? She's Rhea from Succession, all I know.
She's also the senator who says the line about drinking.
Well, you're gonna give me
tea jar.
Peach tea. You could give me tea in a jar and tell me it's piss. No, it's the other way around. You could put piss in a jar and tell me it's granny sweet tea and I'm not going to drink it.
Yeah.
And then she, fuck it. Yeah. I always think of her as Brian Cox sitting there being like, you want to fuck? And I'm like, whoa. Or what does he say?
Something along those. Holly Hunter is her name.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, you're close. Mm-hmm. Holly Hunter. That's her name. Yeah. Great actress. Mm-hmm. She got the perfect voice for it.
Now that I look it up, I'd never really, I guess, looked at the voice cast. Syndrome, voiced by Jason Lee.
Yep.
My name is Earl.
And Elvin and the Chipmunks.
And now it's like, duh, but.
Now it sounds like, so
he
obvious.
It sounds familiar, but I don't know.
You give him a different hair color and style, and it becomes a whole different person in animation.
Yeah. Great movie. I love that movie.
Good.
What was ringing true with you with Monsters, Inc. this watch through?
Okay. Monsters, Inc. What I like about Monsters, Inc. here is, and I didn't even do this on purpose, these other three have similar themes, similar messages throughout them. Monsters, Inc. is all about, like, fear of the unknown and, like, conquering your fear and turning it into laughter. Like, your fear is not productive, but your laughter is. Like, in the world, it ends up turning into energy. Like, it's so good. And it works on two levels because they go in and scare the kids, which is like what we as humans would be like, oh yeah, the monsters come out of the closet and scare the kids. But then they flip it so fragrantly and are like, yeah, but all these monsters are scared shitless of humans. Like the sock, the bee. Mm-hmm. And it's just because they don't know anything about humans. They have no basis of, they're our energy supply and that's it. Mm-hmm. And so I think the themes that I watched all four of these movies explicitly looking for the themes and the messages of them. And this one, I was just like, there's still that component of found family. You know, it's Sully, Mike, and Boo. And so that's there, but it's not like the main focus of the film. It's really, I don't want to say like conquering your fears, but it's kind of a little bit of, you know, attend to your fears and look what could come of it.
I think that's a great way. Fear. What did you say? Fear is not productive. That's beautiful.
But your
that's
laughter
some therapy
is.
Ass shit right there.
Damn. It was so good. And it's just so funny. You didn't file your paperwork, Mike Wazowski. And then when all the kids just start saying, Mike Wazowski. So
I don't want to knock any of these movies, but when I flipped Monsters, Inc. on, and I noticed this with Incredibles as well, as these movies do look 20 years old at this point. You know what I mean?
The animation back then was stunning. We were like, wow.
Incredible for its time. But
nowadays you watch it and you're like, this was. Now. Yeah. Well, what's so interesting to me is how we're able to look at these things. And in the early 2000s, the computer animation looked so real and futuristic. Like, it was like, holy shit. But now, like you've said, it looks dated to me. It looks old because I would prefer something hand-drawn over computer animation.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not even to say, and you know what I think the bad part is I don't think computer animation, like unless you're looking at like Avatar Way of Water, most computer animated movies are not like leagues and bounds ahead of this. They're just marginally better.
Yeah.
And so like while it is noticeable, I think it's just the medium. I think it's a little bit about just the computer animation. At the time, this was high tech, cutting edge. They're doing stuff no one else in the world is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So like, that's not to be like, oh, they were being lazy and doing. No, they were putting
they were cutting in, edge. Yeah.
They were. Yeah. It's,
yeah. I don't say that to knock any of these movies, but it's just interesting
to see. A
fact
of watching it in 2024 now.
Yeah. It's interesting to see, honestly, the progression of the technology.
Well, you know, we could compare it to like their more recent stuff. Their computer animation currently doesn't look bad to me.
Yeah, which I'm sure in 20 years we'll.
In 20 years, it'll probably.
This looks like N64 block.
That's crazy.
Graphics.
Yeah. That's crazy to think about, though, isn't it? Because like we can't imagine anything besides it. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and maybe I just hadn't watched Monsters Inc. in a long time, but. Man, I did not recall it being so early in the Pixar pantheon.
It is. It but really
it's
is.
It's like 2003, 2001. Holy
it's
shit.
It's 2001.
It's literally 2001.
It's one of the oldest
in the tournament. Yeah.
I think it literally goes Toy Story, Bug's Life, this.
Wow.
Isn't that wild? You wouldn't consider it.
Yeah.
And I think it's because it like ushered in this new era of Pixar, as weird as that sounds. Like not to like there was the beginning stages, which I'd say is Toy Story and Bug's Life. You know what? It might be Toy Story, Bug's Life, Toy Story 2, then Monsters, Inc. It's something like that.
Yeah,
those are like the first four. We should know. We've done five podcasts on it, and we should know, and we don't. Yeah, so Monsters, Inc. to me, I think what stood out is that it hit the same notes emotion-wise, found family-wise, but there was just an extra layer of these themes and messages that I was like, you don't get these in the other movies as much. I'm excited. I want to know these results because you. I don't not to talk about what we talk about off the air, but Evan teased to me that this is as much of a nail biter as it can be.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Just to clarify real quickly, so you're dead on. Toy Story, Bug's Life, Toy Story 2, Monsters, Inc., Finding Nemo, and then The Incredibles.
Mic drop.
That's their first six movies?
Yeah.
Damn. And they
it's
all
wild.
Made it.
Wild. All bangers.
So our bracket, our final four is basically like their first four movies.
Four original properties.
Yeah.
The nostalgia goggles are real.
Wow.
People, I don't think we're able to, like, the younger you are when you enjoy a movie, the more it sticks with you. Like, if I watch a movie now and I love it, it's not going to stick with me for 30 plus years like Toy Story will. You know
what
I mean?
Totally.
It's crazy.
Nostalgia is a hell of a drug. It wins out every time.
Will it win out here? What are our two oldest ones?
In the
final four.
Toy Story and...
And Monsters Inc. Oh, we just did this. I'm so sorry. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I'm hoping that's not the case. I'll be honest. What I want here, and I hope this isn't like cheesy or whatever. Yeah. I want a battle of our winner picks. I want Finding Nemo and Monsters, Inc. That would be such a fun way to end this after we called it from the beginning, because I'll be honest. I thought you were crazy with the Monsters, Inc. pick. I really didn't think I thought Wall-E was going to beat it. I really did.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm naive, but I just, if we're talking about themes and messages, Wall-E is the one that fucking shits out good messages for kids.
Yeah, but Wall-E is one similar to my criticism of Up is I think it falls apart in the second, not falls apart, but it drops off in the second half of the movie. People remember the silent film Wall-E moving shit around the planet.
You're telling me people didn't remember the ginormous people on the chairs as they float around in their paradise?
Yeah, the lazy slobs.
You know what's crazy is that movie came out like 2008, and we are closer to that than we've ever been. As soon as you look at someone in a VR goggle, like on the bus or the train, you're
looking like Baron Harkonnen.
Shoot. Well, not to talk about someone that lost weeks ago while we're celebrating the Final Four.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we get into these results here, not closing thoughts, but sort of on the message of themes and whatnot, what are, I don't want to say what are your favorites, but like what stuck out to you? Like, what do you think is something, I got it. I have the new question. Took me long enough. Of these four films, which one do you think you want to show Sal first?
Incredibles.
Okay.
Maybe I'm
Evan's
just
changed his winner pick. He's riding that Incredibles high.
I'm riding that high. It is just such a good, not Pixar, not animated movie, a good movie going experience. It's got the nods.
This is cinema. Oh,
I was literally watching it. They're running around these old spy, like these 60s spy bases, that whole island. It's such a love letter to it.
Yeah,
I think it's the
best. I'm not disagreeing. I love it.
I think it's the best movie going experience of all these.
Okay.
Of all these films.
Okay. I love it. I love everything about it. I'll have to show Sal Finding Nemo because his dad's uncultured, apparently. Just kidding. Evan and I are wannabe movie critics. We're also wannabe chefs.
We're all doing more cooking at home now. If you want to elevate your home cooking, you need nice tools to do it. Louis Kitchenware will get you there. They have beautiful stainless steel pans, nonstick bakeware, knives, all the stuff you need. Safe, high-quality materials, constructed to last, made in the United States. Founded in Detroit.
Moving into my condo, we got hand-me-downs. So this new Louis Kitchenware has been great, and we love the discount. We want to share that with our listeners.
You can use code 2DUDES, that's T-W-O DUDES, at louiskitchenware.com, and that'll give you 10% off anything on the site.
Check out our link in bio.
Two dudes watch cartoons. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay. Results? Can we do this now? Can you send me the results? I'm just so ready.
Okay. All right.
First one. Mm-hmm. We have Toy Story versus Finding Nemo. Our one seed versus our two seed, which is not how the bracket should be set up, but that's okay. Holy shit. This is the closest vote we have had in Pixar March Madness with 51% of the vote. That is a margin of like two votes.
Even last time, it was what, like a 20, 30% difference between?
My heart is racing right now. Holy shit. I'm like, double check the math, people. Okay. 51%, our winner, moving on to the finals, is Toy Story. Congratulations, Toy Story.
Congratulations.
Finding Nemo.
Well played, Finding Nemo.
Damn it. I'm emotional, Evan. Okay, I want to just eulogize Finding Nemo a little. This movie, to me, you talk about the movie-going experience. It's probably the age, the time, the setting. This was that movie for me. I just left, and I just was like in a world of wonder. Like how we talk about Studio Ghibli takes you to a fantasy world. I was here. I was riding the EAC, talking with the fish are friends, not food. Like I was there swimming with Dory, going down the Marina Trench, all of that. I was there. So it's probably the nostalgia, but this one just really did it for me. And I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of upset right now. I really thought Finding Nemo was going to beat it, but this is what we've been talking about. That silent Toy Story majority has just been rolling through, but this is close. I mean, honestly, this is as close as the vote is going to get.
It's a toss of a coin. Literally.
Toss of a coin.
If it's any consolation, if it is any consolation, realistically, what Sal will probably see first is Finding Nemo. He's seen Disney Plus has this like Finding Nemo screensaver thing you can put on.
Oh, and he's into that?
And we've put it on for him before. Just and he'll like sit in his bouncer and
all right, a little yeah. reconciliation for Finding yeah. Nemo. That's great. Wow, I'm not gonna lie, yeah, my heart's racing. I don't
Toy
even know.
Toy Story, the silent killer, the Toy obvious Story, the silent killer.
Yeah, we really discounted it. I didn't think it was gonna lose to Elemental, but I did not think it was gonna stomp Elemental the way it did. And then It breezed past Coco, and it just barely narrow beat out Finding Nemo. I can't believe that. That's literally a couple votes at most.
Yeah, okay. And you know. Finding Nemo had arguably the easiest journey to this point.
I know. But it was supposed to just keep on swimming.
It could not. But well fought. Great.
We got hit by a landmine in the last minute.
In the last minute.
Damn.
Moving over.
Oh my God. Okay, yeah, let's move over to the east. I'm sweating. Okay. Whew. Okay. We have Incredibles versus Monsters, Inc. Neither team seeded. They usurped the seeds last round.
Wow.
Evan, with 51% of the fucking votes.
People are torn.
Holy shit. 51% of the votes. This one's closer, technically, if I'm looking at decimals. This one is slightly closer. The winner is Monsters, Inc. Congratulations. Holy, you can't script this, I feel like.
No.
This is insane. And you voted against your own team.
I did. You know, well fought, Incredibles. I was rooting for you. I was rooting for Monsters, Inc. previously. You changed my opinion. So I hold this.
Give the eulogy. Give the eulogy.
Yeah, here. I hold Incredibles in such high esteem. One of my most worn out DVDs of childhood. I didn't know I still had such a soft spot for this movie, but it just really ignited everything I loved about this movie and the superhero genre. It reminds me of a time before we had MCU saturation, and this was like a wonder to take in. Great superhero movie making.
I would argue that this could be one of the last unconnected superhero films like ever.
Oh yeah,
I bet you know what, there's like Spider-Man 3, but you could argue that's connected to Spider-Man 1 and 2.
Hancock.
Oh yeah, no, you, hey, you beat me, you passed me, you
Sky
that definitely
high.
Okay, screw, forget it. No, but you're right, this era of we love superheroes, we love the genre, but now it is all MCU, DCU, like it's all these two Goliaths, love them, hate them, whatever.
I think so. For me, it hits an intersection because what watching this movie makes me want to watch more of is old James Bond movies. It's not even other superhero movies.
You love James Bond.
I love old spy movies. Yeah. So and
you see the new James Bond?
That hasn't been confirmed. I think it's been actually dispelled.
Me.
It's been busted. All right. But yes,
I forgot
I've seen
how
the
serious
rumors.
You take that.
You take any. You'll take a disbusted
that's
film.
That's not my fucking James Bond yet.
No, he's referring to Aaron Taylor Johnson. Rumors that he was offered the role, but he's come out and said he has not been offered the role. Classic thing to say
that.
If you've been offered a role.
Yeah, that's good.
But I mean, Incredibles, one of the greatest scores as well. Man, just great movie through and through. But Monsters, Inc., you know, tough. Okay?
I'm just shook. I don't want to say we've been having blowouts, but we've been having pretty decisive victories. I think like 60% was the closest we had. Mm-hmm. And wow.
Yeah.
You've got a chance at the title with your winner pick here. I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of people, millions and millions of people are out now that Finding Nemo's gone.
Honestly,
they're not even going to listen to the ending.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Please do. Please vote in this next round. It's even
please
more important.
Vote. This is the round. We have Toy Story versus Monsters, Inc.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Bug's Life didn't get the same nostalgia pump.
I would be curious to see how this plays out, in a
different bracket,
full Pixar bracket.
We might have to do, once Pixar adds a couple more movies,
we can get
to that next level of like 32 instead of 16.
Yeah, and honestly, we only just now talking about it on the pod, discovered that this Final Four was their first sort of four properties, minus Bug's Life. But that's a, yeah, that's it's hard to break into
Toy
that
Story
nostalgia
versus Monsters,
box.
Inc. Last vote. This is, and I'm not putting my thumb on the scale here. This is our last chance to beat Toy Story, y'all. We can do it.
We can do it. So yeah, voting opens. Voting is open by the time you'll hear it. It's open.
If you're listening, it is open. Go to our link, make your voice heard, and thank you for participating. This has been so much fun. I hope you guys are enjoying it too.
We've had a lot of spirited debates with a lot of people.
That's one way to put it. Spirited debates is one way to put it.
Yeah. So please vote. Link is in our bio. Send it to a friend. Argue with a friend about which Pixar movie is the best per this bracket.
I guarantee they will have an opinion that you're not ready for.
Yeah,
they're going to say some shit like, man, Brave was robbed. And you're going to be like, what? I promise you. They'll be like, damn, yeah. Onward had no, like, Onward deserved better. And you're going to be like, hold on, what?
This has been a lot of fun. Wrap us up, Alex.
Yeah. If you are enjoying this, please go check out our non-Pixar March Madness episodes. We have a huge, huge backlog of episodes that you will enjoy. And if you're new to the pod, you know, like, subscribe, wherever you're at, leave us a review. It helps new people find the podcast, which we always appreciate. And do not forget to follow us on social media, TikTok, while you can. And Instagram, we are at Two Dudes Watch Cartoons. And once again, like I said, just thanks for being here. We've had a lot of fun and hope you guys are enjoying this as well.
Yeah, that'll do it for this episode of Two Dudes Watch Cartoons. We will catch you next time.
Two Dudes Watch Cartoons. Yeah.
51.